Okay, I'd like to make a brief introduction to today's Seif. It's a very important halachas. Okay, I think what we've got to clarify in advance to seeing these halachas inside is the following. There's two processes. There's two potential ways of kashering a keli. There's one process called hagola. Now, hagola is what we normally, the concept of Hagola is that there is something called Blias, Tam. It's a very complicated concept, really, but the way it works is that whenever I cook something and there is heat, then whatever I'm cooking, whichever food I'm cooking, will have some Blias, which we can call taste, is going to go into the vessel that I'm using. Could be a pot, could be a frying pan, could be a fork, could be a knife, could be a spoon. The concept is based on the idea that there is tam. Right, now Hagola tells us that keboiloi kach poiltoi, the same way the taste went in, that way it will also go out. It's no magic. So, for instance, if I've got a clay ration, and in that declaration, I've got a soup, which let's say is a fly sugar soup, a meaty soup. And it's a declaration which is on the fire. We discussed yesterday, the same halacha will be if it's not on the fire, if it's a declaration. But let's just talk about it being on the fire. And I, by mistake, instead of taking a meaty spoon to mix it, I'm actually taking a metal milky spoon. And I'm mixing the meaty soup with a milky spoon. So this milky spoon now has become basar b'cholov through blias on a kli rishon alo esh. Are we agreeing on that? So the way to remove this spoon is now also to use. It's basar b'cholov. Now the way to remove it is simple. Keboiloi kach poiltoi. The blias went in through a clearation, so that's going to be the way I can remove the blias. And therefore, all I need to do is I take the spoon and I kasher it in a clearation. All I need to do is I take this spoon, which is tefer now, I put it in a clearation, shal gav eish. On a clearation, which is now, let's say I've got a pot. That pot is 60 times the volume of the spoon. And that pot has got bubbling water in a pot, which is a clearation al gabe esh. I take that spoon and I put it in. And I take it out again without getting burnt. That is now a full-fledged kashering process. Why? Keboiloi kach poiltoi. The same way the blias went in, that's the way the blias are going
to
go out. Good. So that with regards to the pot is a different question. The answer is it doesn't even need to be because if it's 60 times the I don't want to confuse you with that now. As long as it's got 60 times if it's 60 times the volume of the spoon, it won't make a difference. But okay. Now the same will be now let's talk even more lenient. What happens if I've got a meaty spoon and I poured my milky coffee? Well, the coffee is in a cliché, right? Inevitably, a coffee is going to be in a second vessel. Why? Because I poured from the kettle, so it's going to be a cliché. And I took this milky coffee, and I poured it on the meaty. I poured it. I didn't put the meaty spoon in it, but I poured the coffee onto a meaty spoon. So how will the spoon have become tefer? Now we're going to call it tefer. How did it become tefer? Through a irui klisheni. So in principle now, all I need to do for it to be kosher again is what? Is a irui klisheni. I need to do no more than that. Because keboiloi kach poiltoi, the same process that made it trefer, will be the process that is required to make it kosher again. Keboiloi kach poiltoi means in principle, if I make an irui klisheni on that, it will be fine again. Certainly, if I make an irui klirishon on that, we're certainly going to be fine. So there's countless examples of that, but the concept being keboiloi kach poiltoi. So I need to just think about. So very frequently in our contemporary kitchens, you can actually do the kashering process in your own. By me, it happens. I'm saying, I don't know what your kitchen looks like. We've got regular kashering sessions, and all you need to do is the same way it became teif. That's the way you're going to make it kosher again. So what would be another example that we can kash in our kitchens? We can kash ourselves. You by mistake you washed up. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Very good. The wrong dishwasher. That's a very good example. So you put, let's say, a fork. You put a fork in the wrong dishwasher. So what do you need to do that? It's an interesting question because it's a little bit. What would you say? Yeah. So there is a bit of a discussion what the dishwasher is. It might be some are mekel, but that's not the basic halacha. Some are mekel and want to say that based on the pipes that are coming in, it's a cliche, it's an eerie cliche. He spritzes and the hot water, so it will be an eerie cliche, and that's how everything gets, and therefore it will be sufficient to eerie cliche on it to kasher it. The most poskim hold that the dishwasher itself is a cliche in its own right. And therefore, what you need to do is to make a you need to put it in a cliche to kasher it. Yeah, but that's true, that would be good. That'd be good. Now, that is everything that we discussed now is the process of agola of keboiloi kach poiltoi. There is a different level of kashering, which is called libun, which is a far better level of kashering. Libun is kashering through fire, when you're actually using fire. But what is really important to stress from the onset is that libun does not work through a keboiloi kach poiltoi. Kach poiltoi process. Libun is simply, I'm burning out the blias. So say, for instance, I've got a spoon that I made tefer, and I'm taking it now, and I do a libun. What's the most common way of doing libun? Pardon?
Blowtorch.
Blowtorch is a perfect example. I'm burning, what I'm doing is I'm literally burning the blias out of the spoon. This is not keboiloi kach poiltoi. I'm literally burning out the blias. That is best. That works best, and that is best. And that is what we, if we don't want to belomdish and complicated about keboiloi kach poiltoi, you just burn the blias out. There's other reasons as well why we do it, why libun is always the best. We're going to see soon what the reasons are. But that, we have to just realize, it's nothing to do with keboiloi kach poiltoi. Libun is always going to work. Because it's not a tit-for-tat process, it's a burning out of blias, which always works. Libun itself has got two levels, and that we'll be seeing shortly as well in Mitzvah Hashem. Okay, so far so good. We are up to Simon Tov Nun Aleph Seif Gimel. I'll start again from Seif Gimel, from the bottom line of page 74, just to get everything clear in one go. Okay, Sakinim knives, Magilon Beklirishon Umitorim. Sakinim, you can kasha knives in a klirishon, and they'll thereby be mutter. Klirishon, what is the definition of a klirishon? We discussed yesterday. Klirishon nikro is called she'etichoi boy maim alo eish. You bubbled water on a fire. That pot is a klirishon. Va'afilu einoi ato alo eish, even if it is not anymore on the fire. Rak only she'odein roisech, it's still bubbling. Ve'koidem hagole. But it was on the fire. It's been removed now. The pot has been removed. Nevertheless, it's considered a klirishon. We discussed that in great detail yesterday. For koidem ha'agola, and prior to the ha'agola, tzorich lo shuv om yofeh, you need to scratch, you need to wash, scratch it, clean it properly. Pemash chezes, in a millstone, you need to take that knife and lo shuv om, what is it called on a millstone? What do you do? You grind a knife?
Scrape.
Sharpen, chisel the knife. Pemash chez on a millstone. Oy berichaim. Lehavir kol chulda shebohem. Koedem echsherom. You need to remove kol chulda. You need to remove all the rust. Why? You need to take and sharpen it to remove all the rust. Why?
Because the rust contains congealed
Yeah, that's right. Because that area He's not. You didn't cash for that. Mishnah Berurah Sifkotin Chof. We're in Tof Nun Aleph. We are in Sif Gimel. In Sifkotin Chof Beis, the Mishnah Berurah explains Chult Chaluda, which is Ross, Tiksiv, Parash, Tagolas, Kli. Midyon, interesting, it's as a Kosuf. There is room for discussion why it needs a Pasuk to teach us that. But yes, there is a Pasuk teaching us Ach Esazov, but the gold, Kloima. Rak esazov, only the gold, tehainu, kshein shom chaluda, rak zov bilvat, hagola will only work if there is only gold, ma'eles hagola lehafrida bulo, if there is pure gold, only gold, avol, but, kshein shom chaluda, when it's covered with rust, yesh lochush, we've got to be concerned, shemo perhaps, yesh shom mashu, perhaps there's a little bit there, mina chometz, some chometz left behind, hidden beneath the rust. It's covered with the additional layer of rust. And for this, agola will not help. Because agola is not going to help for what is still existing, and it's still there. And now, the Mishnah Berurah is going to tell us there's two levels of rust. That we're saying that rust is a problem, that's if there is a bit of something there, something which you can touch, some... Pardon? Yeah, rust. Yeah, yeah. If there is some mamoshes there, it's a bit. There's a bit of solid existence there. There's a bit of. If you scratch it off, you'd feel something there. There'd be a bit of dirt there. There'd be something physical there. Shaz then yesh lochu shema yesh tachteu mashu mamoshes ha'isabein. You could assume that perhaps beneath that, there's a bit of chometz there. There's something underneath as well. It might be black, it might be dirty, but it might still be something also there. But however, if the rust, sometimes you find it, that it's just a discoloration. It's not a moshes. Do you know what it is? Yeah, sometimes you won't be able to remove it. It's just, it's stained. Yeah, so that is rak mare belvad. It's only a color. It's only an appearance. That k'moshenim tzalifomim sheshachres. Sometimes you find blackness or yadam domis or redness. Metzad apnim shalakli, the internal side of the keli. Shonu koirim flecken. We call it stains. Ink peide, yeah, ink peide. That doesn't matter. V'chein adin boisuk somim anasim beklei bedil. So he makes a distinction between two types of what he calls rust. There's two levels. One is either if there's mamoshes there, if it's some rust which has some, it's like a bit of dirt, some rust that has mamoshes physical. That he says that is a problem. However, if it is just a color, a slight change of color or something like that, he says, don't worry about that. That will be okay. So, but the Al-Koponim, either way, what Shulchan Aruch is teaching us is that you've got to, if you do Hagola, you've got to make sure that everything physical is removed. Now, what is another example of that? That when we do Hagola, we've got to make sure. If you have a kash or something on Pesach, you've got to make sure. Totally clean, absolutely. It's not just rust, but you've got to make sure it's clean. It's very, very common that when you bring your keli for Hagola, you've got to make sure it's perfectly clean. Because if it's not clean, besides the fact that it might be chometz itself, we are concerned perhaps underneath that dirt is something which is chometz. And that's why we've got to make 100% sure that it's completely clean. And that is why the rabbonim were on duty to check the kashering. They always check the keli beforehand. They have to. Because if they kasher something, it's their responsibility too. If they kasher something which turns out not to be 100% clean, it's not beseder. Okay, now continues the Shulchan Aruch. Hilkach im yesh boi gumois ve'en yolech la'koisi ve'hilkach, therefore, im yesh shom gumois if there is holes, ve'en yolech la'koisi yofen, you cannot clean the keli well, ein moil hagol hagolim will not work. Peresh haflot shekelim poltim ha'isra shebahem fu'miloshon shoyroi iba ve'lo yagel. So yeah, that's the point again. Levad v'tzorich libun b'mokam agumo. It says, what happens if you've got an area which has got, a knife is a good example. These grooves, indentations, or another keli, which you are concerned, perhaps I can't clean it properly. So we said that keboilu kachboilu, if you want to do hagola, you've got to make 100% sure it's completely clean. 100%. But what happens if you are concerned, you cannot clean it completely? So here comes Shulchan Aruch, is teaching us a very important yesod, that even if you're not 100% sure when it comes to your knife that it's completely clean, there's another level which is going to work, and that's libun. Libun is not kebolo kachpolto, and since you're burning out the blias, it's fine even if there's some remains there. Because libun works either way. So libun b'mokom agumos. He gives another, let's finish off the Shulchan Aruch. V'hanadin, which is the case of shel sakinim, of knives, is another word for that. Would you put a knife, a big knife, like in a case?
Sheath. That's really the expression used for a sword.
I mean, it might be the same here. I mean, that's probably what the sheath is. What is it made out of?
A sheath is what you put in.
Is that spelled as? Okay, is that EA? EE?
Yeah.
Okay. So it probably is that v'anadun shel zakinim, the case of knives, ein lo takana ba'agola. You cannot do a hagola with it. V'osel achnes b'em sakin b'pesach, and you cannot enter. But you cannot put a knife into the case on Pesach because we're concerned you cannot clean it at all. So v'anadun shel zakinim ein lo takana ba'agola. You cannot do hagola with it. Yeah,
hot,
you're right.
Hot in that way.
Yeah.
Didn't really come.
Nevertheless, we're just concerned in a very practical way. It's likely not to be 100% clean. I mean, you can't physically clean it. How are you going to clean it? So therefore, we are concerned. Okay. Now, the Mishtabuha here in Sefkot Chav Gimel tells us something which is extremely relevant to our knives. So we are learning that if there is indentations or grooves, anything like that, we can't kasha. Why? Because we're worried perhaps there's some remains there. What knives was he talking about compared to our knives? How did the knives look like? How many pieces were made out of? It was one piece. One piece. Well, some knives are still today like this, but it was one piece. The Mishnah Berurah therefore says that if you have got a knife, he argues that if you've got a knife which is made out of two pieces or several pieces, what would you argue based on what we're seeing now? Hot, and therefore, that's right, absolutely. That's right. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. If Kotten Chav Gimel, Im Yesh Gumos. Umetamza, therefore, his Kum Achoinim, the consensus of the later poskim is as follows. Ta'asakin, the knife, Shakato Shulem, Chubem, Masmarim, Ktanim. If you've got a knife whose handle is attached with small, nails, or there's any other ways of attachment, really. Ein moi loy hagola, kashing will not work. You cannot do hagola with it. Ki yesh shom gumois harbe. There's many holes between the two levels, the two layers of the knife, between the handle and the actual blade. Especially where there is the nails, it's inevitable that there is some dirt there. And even more so, if the actual hand is made out of numerous parts, even more so, mutbokim, stuck together. There's a small area in between them. If it's made out of a few pieces, it's inevitable there's going to be holes there, and therefore it's inevitable there's going to be some dirt there. It's impossible to clean it thoroughly. Between the blade and the handle is a bit of a indentation. It's impossible to clean it perfectly well. Unless you actually dismantle it. So the Mishnah Berurah tells us that if a knife is made out of, in fact, a few, and not just knives, but in fact, any keli, this is really important, Rabbi Isai, any keli which is made out of few parts, we are really concerned about kashering for Pesach. So what are the contemporary, what do we still kasha nowadays for Pesach, besides the bechels? What do we kasha for Pesach? Not so much really. But I think that one of the reasons, the main reason is because of this Mishnah Berurah. I did see once, somebody who wanted to kasha a pot, and pots, you could kasha perhaps a pot. If you don't do libun, but if the handle's made out of, not the handles, it's probably going to be attached. And here again, we have to be concerned about it. So it's not so poshut at all. So the only way to do it is through Libun, but just to do a kebolo kechpolto, a kind of a gola, he's not going to work. No, it won't make a difference. No, it won't make so much of a difference. No.
So a
sink. To kasher a sink. Yeah.
Even though the only way it became chometz did was through irui.
Yeah. So no, you're right. So off. Yeah.
But doing irui, clear ishon onto it is not going to help. Fine, because it will help. There are places where.
With made of, okay, it's interesting because then, yeah, Rabbi, so what do you think about that? Kashering the sink, who kashes the sink? Do you kasher the sinks? Does anybody kasher the sinks? Right. So you have my so. So normally we say, so how do we kasher sinks? Yeah, through irui klereshen. So many don't. Many are makbe to do a. But let's just say we do a irui klereshen. So according to what you are saying, you're saying there's a concern that. You won't get into everything, and therefore you're concerned that perhaps it will be. But are you saying that? I mean, I don't know. Is it really so? Is it really made out of various parts? I think a sink generally is made out of one.
Your tap is inserted into a space.
Into a space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe one could argue that since it's more spacious, I'm just trying to be understanding why we do generally a reclamation on it. Perhaps you could argue that it's bigger parts, it's more accessible. A knife, the parts are going to be extremely small and narrow, and the crevice, and therefore there's a chashash. However, when it comes to a larger area like a sink, perhaps you could argue that even if it's made out of various parts, like you're saying the actual sink element, then the tap element, you could argue that it's more accessible, and therefore you could argue that irrigation will be good. But it's an interesting hour. Okay, Seif, now Seif Dalet, Kelim Shemishtam Shemboyen Ledeu, what will be, consequently, based on everything we discussed now, what will be the halacha with Kelim Shemishtam Shemboyen Ledeu, Kelim, which were used in direct contact with the actual fire, Kugoyim, such as Shpudim sticks, Rachsoloski Yitzibahem. Say your barbecue, you've got a barbecue, what is it called? Yeah, which actually goes onto the fire, into the fire and onto the fire. So that comes in direct contact with the fire. Hagola is not going to work for that because the contact is much stronger. It's actually in the fire, it's not through a keli, it's in the fire. Therefore, it will. Hagola is not going to work. So what is going to be the best way to, the only way to kasher it?
Fire
itself. The only way you could kasher it through fire itself. Tzrichim libun. That will require a libun, and it can only be kashered through libun. I'm going to leave out the next lines, top of page 76. We're going to leave that for tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, because that's going to go into another topic. But just to summarize what we learned this evening, really important yesodas. We learned the Hagola process is always based on the concept of keboilo kachpoltoi. The way the bliyas enter the keli, that's the way they can exit the keli. So if it was through a klereshen, you can remove the bliyas through klereshen. If it was through an irui, it can be removed through an irui. If it wasn't a klisheni, by all means, you can kasher this keli in a klisheni. If it was just through dry contact, what's an example for that? Just dry contact. Cold dry contact. Say you had a plate which you used for cold cuts. Yeah, serving plate, just cold. And you want to, and now some milk fell onto it. Cold. So, in principle, what are you going to say? Yeah, that's all you need to do, really. Because the same way the bliyas, the contact was, that's the way, there was not even bliyas in that case, but the concept being that the way it went in, that's the way it's going to go out. There's no, it's never going to be, you never require more than that. Yeah, so if you put a milchik spoon in a flagic spoon in a coffee, which is a klisheni, then a klisheni, a hagola process is going to be sufficient. That's what we learned. Now, if, right, we learned, however, there's one major disclaimer, and that's the parts underneath it, which he calls the rost, which is any dirt, which we are concerned that may still be there. If there is a bit of dirt there, or there's underneath the dirt, there's some issa, hagola will not work. It's not going to work because it's still there. The chometz is still there, or the issa is still there. So it's always going to be the same. When we talk about chometz or issa, it's the same halachas, and hagola is not going to work. So that's a serious concern, especially when it comes to knives, and especially if it comes to kelim which are made out of various parts. The answer for that is to upgrade the hagola into a libun. Libun is through fire, and libun is always going to work because that you're physically and literally burning out the issa, burning out the chometz. And by doing a proper libun, by proper burning out the issa, then you're fine either way. And then we learned in Siv Dalet that kalim which were used in direct contact with fire, that can always, the only way to kasher that is again through direct contact with fire. More on this tomorrow. I wish you a very pleasant evening.